US.
You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. It's Saturday evening, January the 24th. We're working a little overtime in January. There are five Saturdays in January. They're going to have to pay us a little more for this. They say nothing from nothing leaves nothing. Well, what is nothing times nothing equal? Well, it's great to be here, as always. James Edwards, Keith Alexander, Eddie Bompeter Miller, all in studio, all waiting to have our turns at the mic this evening. We've got another barn burner, another busy show tonight, as they all are. I want to first make mention, just as we get started this evening, that the party is already going strong at the Council of Conservative Citizens website. That's cofcc.org. cofcc.org. Go there now and join in the Political Cesspool live chat. You can listen to the show as it is being broadcast and converse with other fans who are doing the same, and with yours truly and Keith and Eddie as well. I want to also, right out of the gates this evening, thank everyone, as always, who has written into the show via email or snail mail this week. Getting that correspondence is always wind in the sails and always serves to buoy our spirits. And it comes in from all over the world, as you know, not just here in the South, but coast to coast and around the globe. And we've got correspondence this week in the mail from Easton, Massachusetts, and then this via email, just to give you a small sampling, from Brian in New Jersey. Here's what he writes to James and the gang. First of all, thank you for the work you do by putting yourselves on the front line in defense of American Christians. I think we both know what I mean by American here. It seems that in the politically correct society of the future, there's room for everyone except Christians, conservatives, and Europeans. God forbid someone be all three of those things at once. That would mean they are as bad as Adolf Hitler. Having listened to your weekly radio program for nearly a year at this point, now this gentleman's listened for a year, guys, writing in for the first time tonight, he says that he found himself agreeing with almost everything that's been said. I would also consider myself to be a right-wing libertarian, and the content of your show has definitely exceeded my expectations. I especially admire the overall tone of the show, as it gives off a feeling of being community-oriented, and it almost feels as though I could be listening to conservative friends or relatives speak. Your show feels a lot more real than others because you make references to your personal life, and overall, it usually comes across as having a friendly and positive atmosphere. Despite this, you don't compromise yourself on essential principles, which I also respect. The Southern Poverty Law Center and other organizations of that nature would have people believe that you, Eddie, and Keith, and the others are little more than swastika-carrying Looney Tunes. But anyone, regardless of their politics, who actually listens to your show would find that this obviously isn't true. Anyway, keep up the good work, and I'll be praying for you and your family, including the extended family of your co-host and everyone else who helps out with the program. That comes from Brian, Keith, in New Jersey, and it just goes to show that we reach a wide array of listeners. Our audience is vast and diverse, and he's been listening for a year, writing in for the first time, but he picks up on that which we seek to project, which is our true selves. And we always talk about our audience being family members. We always talk about they being part of our extended family, and they are the ones for whom we sacrifice and come in and do this show at great personal expense and grief. And I'm glad that he sees us in that way. Thank you so much for the email, Brian. That's our email of the week.
Well, I'd like to say that there, thank you, Brian. There is no pretense here. What you see is what you get, as they used to say on the old Rowan and Martin television show. We are basically just average Americans, in particularly from red state America. And I know there are a lot of people who have a conservative bent that live in blue states, like you. Thanks for letting us know that you're out there. See, we never know who we're reaching and where we're reaching and what effect. See, until we heard from Brian, we didn't know that Brian was even part of our audience. But thank you very much. Well, everybody like Brian, get in touch with us. Let us know what you think of the show.
Well, and we know that just like any program, sure, Eddie, we know that any program, you know, you get about 1% of the audience actually, you know, takes the time to donate or to offer correspondence. And if that is any indicator, and that's a general rule of thumb in radio, if that is any indicator to the size of our audience, then let me tell you something, folks, it's rivaling a lot of the big names out there. Eddie, you wanted to quickly say something to Brian before we get down to brass tacks tonight? We got a busy show.
Yeah, I'd like to make a quick comment to Brian and all of our listeners. I'll tell you another reason why I come in here, and I'm looking at two of the reasons right here, is Keith and James. I mean, we have shared many a battle together. I love these guys just like my own flesh and blood. As far as I'm concerned, they are my flesh and blood. A lot of you guys know that I was in the Army back in the bad old good days. And it's true that when you're in there and you're in the trenches, you don't give a damn about your country. You're not fighting for mom and apple pie and all that stuff. You're fighting to stay alive, and you're fighting for the brothers that you love. And that's the way I look at these two guys right here. With that, I'm going to pass it back to my brother Keith.
And, Eddie, you had some other business to tend to on Thursday night, but as we typically do at the very top of the show in the opening segment, we like to get things started with a little banter as the audience is getting in their seats across the country. Tell them very quickly about our trip to Bozo's on Thursday night, Keith, and why we want to make mention of it tonight.
Bozo's is a well-kept secret. It is a little barbecue joint in Mason, Tennessee, that's tucked away in the far southeast corner of Tipton County, Tennessee, which is a county just north of Memphis. You have to go through Shelby County and parts of Fayette County to get to Bozo's. Bozo's is like a trip back in time, in a time capsule. You go in there and it's 1940. It's like the movie Pleasantville. All of a sudden, as you're on the highway out there, things turn to black and white and your car turns into a 51 Mercury. But we're going to get some pictures of it. James and Isabel, I think Danny was sick that night and couldn't go. Eddie got preempted by one of his running events. But James and Isabel, his daughter, and I went to Bozo's, and it was wonderful. I mean, the people that, you know, wait on the table give you hope for the emerging generation.
When you go into these small hamlets across the country, particularly across the South, as Keith said, like Pleasantville, if you've seen the movie, things have not changed there over the decades, at least very little compared to what you find in the urban areas, even in southern cities like Memphis. I mean, time has stood still in the best possible way, we mean this, in towns like Mason, Tennessee, where this is a barbecue joint is located. It still feels like the 40s and 50s, and I mean that as a compliment, not as a...
That's the best. Older, you know, Obama wants to change America. James, Eddie, and me want to change America back. Because, believe me, it was better back then. We lived then, and it's just, you go to that restaurant, and you just automatically feel, you know, your blood pressure drops about 10 points. It's a wonderful place to be.
That's absolutely right. Well, it's another wonderful place to be is to be tuned in tonight to the Political Cesspool, whether it be that you're listening on the AM/FM radio stations of our affiliates across the country, which we hope to be growing here very soon, and we're working behind the scenes to facilitate just that, or if you're tuning in online, and you would have to be listening online tonight to be in that political cesspool chat at cfcc.org. We're happy to have you no matter how you come to us. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a lot of fun together tonight. So one more time, if you're not already there, log on, cfcc.org, for the Council of Conservative Citizens. Join our online fan party. Do you know that the Lord of the Board, Art Frith, is in there tonight? Ladies and gentlemen, a political cesspool alum. He's there. We'll be back right after this.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our 0-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Whoa! This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze-Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze-Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now's the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3666. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Folks, they are having a good time in the political cesspool online chat and virtual fan party. I'm reading a comment now that Keith Alexander is God's gift to humanity.
Who said that?
I don't think it was a female, Keith, so don't get too excited.
No, obviously
there,
not.
There are there are some females in there, including one female who could have her own spinoff from the cesspool now. It's Courtney from Alabama. She's in there and some others.
It'd be like Shirley and Laverne.
There are celebrities in there, like Navy Chief Art Frith, the Lord of the Board.
Just don't say anything negative about the Beatles, or else you'll have Courtney to contend with.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. Well, I'll tell you another thing that never gets old. Like some of the jokes we tell, it's some of the commentaries that we recycle so often. But yeah, I went outside during the last commercial break to the car in the parking lot here at the radio station and turned on the car just for a second, just so I could hear our show going out across the AM dial. I mean, there's something about that after 10 years that still just doesn't wear thin on me to go out there and to be able to hear us on the AM dial. I guess some people would say, well, yeah, I mean, you're a radio station, but keep in mind, I mean, that's what makes the political cesspool unique. There are a lot of internet radio shows that try to cover some of the topics that we do, but we are anchored in the legitimacy that AM/FM affiliates bring us. And, you know, that's why we've gotten this news coverage. That's why we've been able to have such great guests, celebrity guests over the years, and just makes a name, not for ourselves, folks, because, you know, we don't do this for ourselves. For our cause, for our ideas, for our family.
And for the betterment of the world.
For betterment of the world. That's absolutely right. For all of mankind, it would be better if we were in control. I say that not braggadociously, but quite frankly. And listen, the most recent shows, Sean Bergen reporting live, you know, the last couple of weeks in December, a live television news reporter, exclusive coverage for the political cesspool. You know, what great fun that was. Then to have, of course, David Duke on in the middle of his kerfuffle in the media. You know, nobody else was reaching out to him. We did, and then all of a sudden he's on CNN and Fox immediately thereafter. And then last week's show, and I know, Keith, you told me when we went to Bozo's that you thought the best part of last week's show was Eddie's interview with Jim Rothstein, and I'd be hard-pressed to disagree.
Really, I was listening to that, and my jaws were gaping open. I mean, it was the most incredible live radio that I'd heard in a while.
And it was great because it was rooted in fact, and that was Eddie's brainchild, was to bring Detective Rothstein on. You know, this is a guy that also carries some weight, a former New York Police Department detective who has looked into the corruption of our politicians. And you say, well, why don't any of these representatives do what they were elected to do? Well, they go in and they get dangled in front of them their poison of choice, whether it be pedophilia or just your run-of-the-mill, you know, escort, and they get compromised. They get owned at that point. Well, anyway, it's been great shows. We're going to give you another one tonight. Now, I believe our producer out there at the network in Utah, the one and only Sam Bushman, has got a clip together. This was an interesting thing that I was able to find. Bill Maher, we all know Bill Maher. He's this pretty radically left-wing commentator on HBO, and he's wrong about a lot of things. He is wrong about a lot of things. It incenses me to watch him mock Christianity.
Of course, he's Jewish. Why do we mention that? Well, you know, it's just so predictable.
Well, but here's the thing, though. And it takes no courage to mock Christianity. He does this as if he's some sort of a hero and standing up to the, you know, the strength of a tide. But, I mean, nothing could be further from the truth. But here's the thing. When he's right, he's right. So we've got this clip of him making comments on freedom of speech. I want you to listen to this because we've got a pretty interesting commentary. It's about a minute long. Let's play it now.
Yeah, liberals hate bullying, all right, but they're not opposed to using it. When they casually throw out words like bigot and racist, it does cow people into avoiding this debate. And if you're doing that, you don't get to wear the Je suis Charlie button. The button you should wear says, "Je suis part of the problem." And that goes for everybody. This may surprise you, but I am not a big fan of Rush Limbaugh. However, if you're one of the people with a website devoted to making him go away, you are part of the problem. And ironically, you're not even a proper liberal because you don't get free speech. You're just a baby who can't stand to live in a world where you hear things that upset you. Oh, you're not alone. In much of Europe, denying the Holocaust is a crime. It shouldn't be. The French arrested an anti-Semitic comedian this week for his comments about the attack, which were vile. But opinions shouldn't be illegal. Everyone can always come up with a reason why the thing that bugs you should get a waiver. But free speech only works if there are no waivers. No waivers, including for religion.
Okay. That was probably more honest than I've heard ever come out of Sean Hannity's mouth, for instance. Now, let's look at what he said. He said, liberals hate bullying, but they're not opposed to using it. When they casually throw out words like bigot and racist, it cows people into avoiding this debate. All right? That's exactly what we've been saying for 10 years, and the audience cheered. He said this, in Europe, denying the Holocaust is a crime. It shouldn't be. That's what he said. The audience cheered. Now, could you imagine if I had gone on Sean Hannity's show, for instance, or Bill O'Reilly or any others, and I said that exact same thing, or if I was in before a live studio audience, as he has a live studio audience at his tapings, if I'd have said that, I would have been booed, I would have been jeered, they would have thrown tomatoes at me. But he says it, and they cheer. Now, this just goes to show, Keith, and this was what was so interesting about what happened here, is that this reconfirms my belief that most Americans, we know most Americans are just, you know, obese consumers. They don't really have core convictions. They're a mile wide and an inch deep. Most Americans don't really have any philosophical or political beliefs. They just go with the prevailing trends. They do what they cheer what they see celebrities saying. You know, we obviously are heartfelt in our convictions here on the political cesspool. And there are other people who probably ardently believe in communism, deeply and truly. But Bill Maher said the Holocaust shouldn't be criminal to deny it. And they cheered. He said you shouldn't go out casually labeling people racist and bigot. And they cheered. If I'd have said it, they wouldn't have cheered. But he says it and they cheer because he's a celebrity. He's got the mic. He's the guy that they want to, you know, suck up to. And they cheer. It's okay to cheer for him. But here's the thing. It just goes to show people's beliefs can turn on a dime. And if we ever get any part of power, if we ever gain any real critical mass, you think it's a lost cause, people, things will turn on a dime and they'll turn overnight because people are just going to go with whoever's in power.
Well, it's like I've said for years, particularly in red state America, liberalism is a mile wide but an inch deep. Basically, people you never underestimate the power of the desire to be seen as fashionable. If you are seen as fashionable, Bill Maher is seen as fashionable as a kind of cool dude. That's the way he's portrayed in the mainstream media. If he says something, it will have a pass. It will be applauded by the fashionistas that want to be like Bill. On the other hand, if you are cast into the outer darkness because you're ultra-conservative or paleo-conservative or right-wing, then it doesn't matter what you say, it can't be right. And this is a perfect example of it. Bill Maher was saying something that could have been said by James Edwards almost any week. But Bill Maher gets applause from the same studio audience that would have been pelting James Edwards with rotten fruit.
Or you or Eddie or any of us that have gone out here and toiled in the vineyard on behalf of truth and reason and fairness. But listen, I got to give credit where credit is due. I don't like Bill Maher. But when he's right, he's right, and he was right about this, and he does tell the truth sometimes, you know, yeah. without regard to his left-wing ideology.
Yeah, it's just, you know, political correctness is so much more powerful than the terror tactics that the Soviet communists, for example, or the Chinese communists used. You know, taking somebody, knocking on the door at midnight, and taking them to the basement of the Lubyanka and putting a bullet in the base of their brain, much less effective than affecting somebody's ability to get a job or to advance in their career, or, heaven forbid, to be deemed unfashionable.
All right, Keith, we're going to take a break, folks. Listen, biggest chat in the last few weeks at cfcc.org right now. If you're not there, do it. We'll be back right after this.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQonline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQonline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you are somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support.
go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Well, listen, we've got some news. You know, I was so excited, as any father would be, when my latest bundle of joy arrived on the scene on October 27th, just a couple of days after our 10-year anniversary party here in Memphis. Well, the Political Cesspool's family has been extended again today when Peter Scoop Stanton, our intrepid correspondent, formerly from New York, now in Washington, D.C., had baby number two. So a new Stanton in the world as of this afternoon. And the proud father is joining us right now. Just because his kid was born a couple of hours ago, doesn't mean he's going to take the night off.
We here at the Cesspool believe in the biblical admonition to go forth, be fruitful, and multiply. Nobody can quite match Kurt and Sam, but we're trying the best we can.
If you add all of your kids, Keith, both of Eddie's, both of mine, and both of Scoop's, you still don't combine reach Sam.
You don't have as much testosterone as Sam, but that's
for sure. Hey, Scoop, congratulations, brother! Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, guys. No problem. Thank you very much. But since the birth of my son, what we need to do is double down. You know, just because like you have another child, I got another kid, other people have other kids, we need to double down on efforts because everybody knows this country and a lot of Western society is going hell in a handbasket.
Well, it is. It certainly is. So, I mean, here, listen to this. I want you to take stock and take note, folks, of what's going on right here. So here's this man, a man who calls in every week to the show to contribute to the broadcast. He had a kid, 3:19 Eastern time. Is that right, Scoop? So about
yep,
3 hours ago?
Time.
And here you are calling in tonight. Now, that's dedication. That's commitment. That's who we are. That's what we stand for. Sam was asking the gender, right? So it's a boy, and you named it Derek and the Dominoes, right?
Well, Derek Corey, but we're still having issues between me and Mrs. Stanton. What we got to name? It's going to be either Derek Corey or Corey Michael.
Derek Corey or Corey Michael. Either way, Corey's going to be in the mix. And either way, he's no doubt going to be a stud if he comes from the seed of one Scoop Stanton. Well, I know one thing that Scoop did before he welcomed baby number two into the world was that he went to the movies a few days ago, and he did not see Selma. Like most of the country, he didn't see Selma. Selma is a box office dud. Now, it opened last week on Martin Luther King weekend with, you know, Selma and Martin Luther King, the holiday, getting, I don't know, $1 billion of free publicity. It took in 8.3 million in ticket sales. Now, that sounds like a lot. But that was number six. It was the sixth highest grossing movie of last week on King weekend with all that publicity. And keep in mind, a significant amount of those tickets were bought by organizations and given away for free to school children.
Black school children, for the most part. Now, let me tell you, these guys are missing the boat. They could have the most over-the-top successful debut of a movie ever if they just concentrated on Martin Luther King's real salacious sex life.
We're going to get to that after Scoop's done, and we're going to revisit that. We talked about it a lot last week. The Daily Mail actually ran an article about the degeneracy of King, talking about how everyone knew it. Jackie Kennedy knew it and said he was an awful man. They actually ran that. A little truth somehow got out in the mainstream media and the Daily Mail of London. They said he should still be worshipped, but he was a fallen saint. Anyway, so Selma is this religious movie because for the cultural Marxists, because King is the new savior of the state religion. So the Marxists were buying these tickets and busing in school children to see the film. Of course, school kids, as we put on the website, they don't care anything about this. It was a million years ago. And these anti-white lectures become boring. Now, of course, the movie is up for 2 Academy Awards. It just goes to show that it's not about making money. It's about ramrodding a certain ideology into the popular culture. It'll probably win Best Picture. But it would have been interesting if it was in competition directly with one of the yearly Holocaust films that we see put out. You know, that would have been a funny and epic battle. It might be close, but my money would be on the Holocaust film to win that one. But,
well, I've got an idea. Just like we need to have Godzilla versus Mothra, we need to have Martin Luther King versus Hitler. That'll be the
Well, yeah, your Schindler's List, the remake versus Selma. Anyway, all right, Scoop, you went to see a different movie, though, did you not? Tell us all about it.
Yep, I went to see Academy Award-nominated movie American Sniper. And I live in pure blue state Northern Virginia. Needless to say, the movie theater I went to had 5 theaters of American Sniper, 2 theaters of Selma. The movie theater I went to was packed, sellout. And this movie was the best Navy recruitment film since Top Gun. Bradley Cooper should win an Academy Award for Best Actor. He portrayed U.S. Navy SEAL Chief Chris Kyle. And Kyle was a real-life superhero. This guy took his talent of marksmanship, decided that, you know, America is worth fighting for. So at 30 years old, he enlists in the Navy and goes to SEAL school and passes SEAL school, passes sniper school, and then gets shipped overseas. He was one of the most deadliest snipers in U.S. history. And this movie is just pro-military, pro-America, everything that America stands for, and it's probably going to make $200 million.
Well, here's the thing. I was just going to say, in comparison, Selma, on Martin Luther King weekend, as we mentioned, took in $8.3 million in ticket sales, while American Sniper took in $93 million. Now, American Sniper... this guy is a white Southerner who loves guns. Now, that's everything that they hate and everything that they teach us we should hate. It took in $100 million, basically, while Selma generated $8.3 million with all of the – that's in one weekend, all right? And that's with all of the King adulation and worshiping, it did that. Now, here's the thing. You know, are we against these wars? Should America be involved in these foreign entanglements? Well, George Washington said no. I agree. So, you know, a lot of these people, including this guy that portrayed in the movie, probably went over there with the best of intentions, but, you know, he was misled and was misused. But it does not take away the gallantry and the valor. All right, these people are going over there to die for something that they were taught that they should have believed in. Listen, whether you agree with the war, you know, we had General Hal Moore on, and Mel Gibson played his character in the movie We Were Soldiers. And that was, of course, about the great, you know, one of the most memorable Vietnam conflicts. And he said at the end of the show, hate war, but love the American warrior. And so, you know, again, we
can be
against
what Eddie said. You know, Eddie said at the beginning of this show, that when he was in Vietnam, forget about all of the flapdoodle, all of the so-called patriotism and whatnot. It gets down to looking out after your fellow soldiers, your brothers over there. And I'm sure that's what Navy SEAL Kyle was doing. In fact,
and that's right.
Yeah, we do owe them something. We owe them veterans benefits. Unstintingly, they should be treated with respect and honor when they come back.
Scoop, back to you.
Okay, and now let's look at the media. Sean Bergen nailed it 100% correctly when he said the media has their agenda. Fox had Sean Hannity do his Friday show all about the release of this movie. Now, mind you, American Sniper is released by Warner Brothers, not 20th Century Fox. So Fox, they had some red meat. They said, all right, let's promote this movie. Meanwhile, over at MSNBC, they couldn't stop talking about Selma. They did mention American Sniper one time. Piece of crap, Ed Schultz, he beat it down and had somebody that was against the movie and for the movie. So Selma, in the eyes of MSNBC, Selma, yay. American Sniper, nay. You know, Martin Luther King, yay. Chris Kyle, nay. also at the end of the movie, they showed the funeral procession, and as the credits were rolling, nobody in that theater got out of their seat. Needless to say, the people standing on Interstate I-35 was lined up for hundreds of miles because it was a two-hour trek to the Cowboy Stadium.
Especially attractive to Southerners who believe in standing up and fighting for what they believe to be important. And so, you know, again, whether we agree or disagree with these wars, which, you know, certainly we don't, but it doesn't take anything away from this guy. He, you know, he did what he thought was his patriotic duty, and you can't, you know, that's still to be commended.
Well, Tennessee, our home state, is called the Volunteer State because we've provided so many volunteers through all wars in the 19th and the 20th century that America has been involved in. In fact, Scots-Irish Southerners and rural people generally are the backbone of the American military, have been, always will be.
Hey, and Scoop, the same goes for you, buddy, because you have served. You were in the Navy. Eddie the Vomiter Miller was in the Army. Winston Smith was in the Navy. We've got more people on our staff that served in the armed forces than people like me and Keith. Art Frith, the Lord of the Board, was in the Navy. Absolutely. Scoop, thank you so much for calling in and working this into the show tonight. And we'll talk to you next week. Get back and be with your family. God bless you, brother, and congratulations again.
Thank you.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211 and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
We fought. We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
CFCC.org, folks. That's where the party is right now in the online chat and virtual get-together. We were talking about the media and Martin Luther King earlier, and these two movies, Selma versus American Sniper. You know, there's this website out there called Rotten Tomatoes, and it's a pretty well-known movie critics website. And basically, it exists only to point out what's bad about movies, if I understand it correctly. Martin Luther King's movie got 100% fresh rating from, you know, movie critics never agree on anything, but they all agree that this was just the best cinematic masterpiece that's ever come out of Hollywood. It's just ridiculous. These whores, I mean, these prostitutes, not an original idea among them.
Yeah,
not how could you not have a dissenting view on this? If you have taken any look into the life of this man, why is he to be so revered? We talked about the real Martin Luther King last week. Well, there's an excellent article that was posted at thepoliticalcesspool.org on Friday. It was written by a man named Benjamin Ryan, and he goes through the big five about Martin Luther King. Very dispassionate, very fact-based and referenced, sourced. He talks about the plagiarism, which I think most everyone accepts without controversy. He talks about the adultery, some of the examples of his adulterous liaisons. The degeneracy.
Physical and sexual abuse.
Right. All the way around, and on this continent and in Europe. Talks about his hatred of white people and how that motivated a lot of his thinking. It talks about him being an avowed communist. And it also talks about his so-called faith. Martin Luther King publicly said that he did not believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ, he did not believe in the virgin birth, he did not believe in the resurrection, and he did not believe in the second coming. Now, all four of those are the four most basic foundational doctrines of Christianity. He did not believe in the faith. He was not a Christian, yet still he chose to cloak himself with
and he's apparently fooled a lot of people, because I was listening to Bot Radio Network that has a major affiliate here in the Memphis area, and the head of Bot Radio broadcasting system, the big Christian broadcasting system throughout America, came out four square that Martin Luther King was, just the model Christian in every way.
Look, and this is his own writings, Keith. You know, this isn't what I'm saying, my opinion, hearsay, what I heard somebody else say that King said. These are his own writings. They're irrefutable. He did not believe in any of those core doctrines of Christianity, but he cloaked himself in the moral authority of being a Baptist minister because he knew that's what would help him sell this message. And so, again, it's probably the greatest article on the real Martin Luther King that I've ever read, and you can find it at thepoliticalcesspool.org in the Friday entries. Now, one more thing. So if you say, it may be true, it may be fact-based, but it wasn't mentioned on one of the establishment sources. Well, here's what the Daily Mail ran about King. I'm going to read it very quickly.
It was a major daily newspaper in England.
Now, I'm only going to read the excerpts where they got into the truthfulness of King, because they still said, as I mentioned, that he should still be worshipped, he should still be revered, he should still have his holiday and all of the other things, because even though he was fallen, he still stood for what was right.
Total immoral reprobate.
Here's what they wrote, though. King's secret sex life became such a talking point at the White House that recently released interviews with Jackie Kennedy revealed even she knew about it. Jackie confided how her brother-in-law, Bobby Kennedy, had told her that the FBI had recordings of King's trying to arrange a sex party on the night before the March on Washington in August 1963. "I can't see a picture of Martin Luther King without thinking, that man's terrible," sniffed the former first lady. Bobby had told her that King was calling up all of these girls and arranging for a party of men and women, a sort of an orgy. Now this, and we have heard rumors about his bisexuality as well. I think, Bayard Rustin?
Bayard Rustin was a major civil rights leader back then, supposedly one of the intellectual blacks in the movement, and he was as gay as they come.
Well, and so these are some of the rumors that you hear being now corroborated to an extent by these FBI tapes reported by the Daily Mail here. They go on to say this: one of King's most distinguished biographers, Taylor Branch, revealed how on King's trip to Norway to collect the 1964 Nobel Peace Prize, Sweet. Members of his entourage were running after naked or near-naked prostitutes in the Oslo hotel where they were staying. Only a desperate appeal to hotel security saved them from being thrown out. Now, this is the guy that's honored with his own holiday. This is the guy who has supplanted Jesus Christ as the head of the religion accepted by many Americans. Branch also detailed how FBI agents bugged King's hotel room in Washington in January 1964 and recorded him in adulterous full flow. "I'm effing for God. I'm not a Negro tonight," he could be heard shouting. Now, how many people that you could say, okay, well, he did all that, no big deal, he still deserves the holiday, or you could say, you know what, maybe this should be revisited, and this is just the tip of the iceberg. Listen, sex scandals aren't that common, you know, a lot of people have done them, but when you add that to plagiarism, communism, hatred of white people, on and on and on, you have to ask yourself, and not one of them, not Sean Hannity, not Bill O'Reilly, not anybody. In fact, you heard, you know, if people in 1980 voted against the King holiday, they were, you know, brought back up for a Salem witch trial this week. He should, you know, the 10 people who voted against this holiday should be given some sort of an award for having a sack.
Well, for having the intelligence and the courage to stand up against the prevailing orthodoxy. It's incredible that this man, whose life was one continuing rolling sex scandal, furthermore, he was a shill. He had no intellectual heft whatsoever. He was just a front man, a face, that other people poured information into. For example, his "I Have a Dream" speech was plagiarized, just like his doctoral thesis was plagiarized. His letter from a Birmingham jail that I was required to study when I went to college was written by someone else, and he signed it. See, everything about the man is fraudulent and phony.
And he's yet, with all of that evidence, and I'm talking about fact-based evidence, look, I'm not a fan of the FBI, but for God's sake, they got him dead to rights. I mean, these are all facts. They should all go into the conversation, but not one, not Hannity, not any of these conservative mouthpieces, not Levin, not Savage, you know, these so-called conservatives, not any of them said anything but glowing, lavish praise for King.
You know, couldn't they find a civil rights leader that just, you know, committed adultery once a week, for example? You know,
his reputation, every night. His reputation is above reproach. And if you say anything remotely objective about the true man, then you are branded as all of these evil things, and you are the one that's got the problem. You know, this just goes to show who is in control. You know, not the people, not Jesus Christ, not people who you can urinate on and it makes for great comedy. No, it's the people that you cannot criticize. Let's go to Eddie's. Eddie's got something hot.
Well, here, let me say this before I give it to Eddie. You know, the man, if there was a Hall of Fame for adulterers, he would be in the top 10. I really think so. I mean, based on the FBI's reports, I don't think that guy could go half a week without committing adultery.
Well, it's, here's the thing, though. People say, well, that doesn't matter to them. That's not, you know, what they make the measure of a man. But, you know, that plus everything else has to tip the needle, at least to the point where you got to say, okay, he shouldn't be the only individual, save Jesus Christ, that has his, you know, own national holiday. Eddie?
I'd just like to make a couple of quick points. First of all, James said, yeah, everybody, you know, it's, sexual immorality is not uncommon. But my pastor, when I go to church, I totally agree. And when you're a minister, a Baptist minister, you are held to a higher standard, and rightfully so. You're held to a higher standard.
That's right.
Than every,
now, that is a great point. Every,
secondly, who in our society is looked at, scrutinized more carefully than anybody in the country, in the world? White Southern Christian, Southern Christians. You know, if we get one eye out of line, they'll say we are hypocrites. We don't practice what we preach. My third point is, and he, the Reverend King, violated both of those. My third point is, one of the guys brought up a comment, I don't know if it's Keith or James, said that, you know, with this Bill Maher, when he was saying all these, the truthisms, this, you know, empty skull audience stood up and they cheered what he said when he said that the Holocaust, you know, deniers should have their day, you know, in court, so to speak. Well, you know, and one of the guys pointed out that the reason these people went along with cheering up, with cheering Bill Maher, it's the same reason this nitwit on Bach Radio is going along with the King being a saint. You know, the man that runs Bach Radio can't be that stupid to think that King was actually a saint. The reason he's doing it, because number one, He's a coward and doesn't want to go against the number, against the grain. He's a coward. Secondly, you know, he doesn't want to be. He don't want to be he doesn't want to be called a racist and a bigot.
That's right.
He's a stinking coward, and he's a liar. He's a flat out liar. That's my point, guys.
That's a great point, and I like how you worked in his Christianity thing. Is that, you know, he claimed to be a Christian even though he didn't believe in anything that Christians believe in. But yes, if you're going to be a so-called Baptist minister, you're supposed to be a little bit elevated in terms of your morality.
Well, you're supposed to be. Well, what they used to say is you're supposed to be like Caesar's wife, beyond reproach. You know, this man was not only not beyond reproach, there was no part of his life that wasn't scandalous. You know, I can't think of a thing that he touched and did that was honest, forthright, and as advertised.
Well, we talked about it for nearly an hour last week. We revisited it for a great deal of tonight's first hour. We're going to let King lie now, but we had to do it, folks, because except for the shows on this network, who else will? If nobody else in the media has courage, we'll have enough courage for all of them. We're going to take a break. We're going to have a female guest on the line when we come back. You know, we do that once a year, a little voice of femininity right after this. Stay tuned.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.